Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team broke more than a few hearts earlier this year when it fell just short of a national championship.
Longtime coach Bo Ryan may have broken a few more this week with the announcement that the next season will be his last behind the bench in Madison. He'll retire with the hopes that his successor will come from within the program, though. Howie Magner is our regular sports contributor, and he's with us now to help process the news. Welcome back, Howie.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Mitch.
We are going to start with maybe surprising news to many people that came out this week when Wisconsin basketball coach Bo Ryan announced that the next season will be his last. Were you surprised?
Slightly. You'd heard some rumors out there that, you know, given the success and the back-to-back Final Fours and the championship game, that he could be retiring. Now, there was speculation that he might retire before the season, and that didn't happen. He's going to do one more season and then retire at the end of it. But when you kind of step back and look at it, it makes sense. I mean, you know, he's been at this for a long, long time, and I know he loves it. But at some point, maybe you want to kind of go off and get away from it and do your own thing. But he also had – what else could he have done? Well, win a championship is about the only answer right now.
And he still has a chance.
He could with this team coming back, but he certainly wouldn't be favored to do it. I think they lost so much firepower off the previous team. I mean, when you look at it, they've got two first-round draft picks coming off of that team in Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker. Unless you're Kentucky – and you're going out and replacing it with All-American freshmen year after year, it's pretty hard to rebuild when you're Wisconsin in the manner that Kentucky rebuilds or a Duke rebuilds, because Bo Ryan doesn't build his teams around freshmen who leave after 1 year. He builds them around players who are going to stay for the 4 years and develop into a system. So I wouldn't say that Wisconsin is a favorite to do anything great on the national stage. Look, could they surprise us? Sure. But getting back to Bo and his retirement, I think it does make sense when you take everything into account. And I think he believes that the program is in a really good position right now to transition into his successor.
So the next year is about to getting the pieces in place for whoever comes after Bo Ryan.
Sure, and he knows who he wants. So he said it in his press release announcing his retirement that he hopes assistant Greg Gard gets the job. And I have to believe that wasn't an accident, that, you know, he not only does Bo Ryan believe it, but Barry Alvarez has probably already signed off on it, because if he hadn't, his name wouldn't be in the press release. They would say, well, you know, see how this year goes, and then we'll conduct a national search or something like that. The simple fact that Greg Gard's name was in the press release, he doesn't have the job yet, but it leads me to believe something has to really go wrong for Greg Gard to not get the job.
Well, and can they even – I mean, can they announce who's going to be his successor before he gets to the point? I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, teams do that every now and then. They've done it over at Syracuse with Boeheim, head coach in waiting. Other institutions have done things like that. North Carolina has done it in the past.
It doesn't cause any problems on the team.
Well, not if you get the right guy. I mean, if it's pretty well recognized that Greg Gard is the guy at Wisconsin if Bo's not there, then I don't think it's an issue. And in many cases, it can help prep a guy to take over, because you can start handing duties off to them that a head coach would have to do and step back and maybe tutor them along the way. So, Bo Ryan has been with Greg Gard for two decades at basically every stop that he's been at. So Gard clearly knows the system, clearly knows how Bo runs things. I'm sure there would be some differences in philosophy, because there's always a difference in philosophy. But if Bo is comfortable with Greg Gard taking over the position, then if you're a fan of Bo, then you probably are a fan of that decision.
All right. So you mentioned the fact that a couple of number one draft picks off of the graduating team at Wisconsin, and there were some who were hoping that the Bucks would pick at least one of those guys. It didn't happen. Let's talk about who the Bucks did draft.
Just some people who wanted.
Yes.
It seems like 80% of the state wanted Kaminsky or Decker to end up with the Bucks. Realistically, where the Bucks were positioned in the draft, they weren't going to get Frank Kaminsky. He was going to go too high. He was too highly touted. Unless the Bucks pulled off a trade to move up, then perhaps it could have worked out. But Sam Decker was there when the Bucks selected, and there was a clamoring for the Bucks to take him. I never really saw it as a great fit for two reasons. One, at the position that Sam Decker would play, you've already got two players who you are counting on to be future stars of your franchise in Jabari Parker and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So Decker was going to come in and really not have any minutes available to him, barring an injury situation. Two, if Decker did end up on the Bucks, can you imagine the pressure on the kid to come in? Basically, folks would want him to come in and be Ray Allen in his rookie year. And that's not fair to Decker. It's not fair to the Bucks to create Ray Allen out of Sam Decker. So as much as it would have been a nice narrative to see the local kid go to Wisconsin and then come over to the hometown team of the Milwaukee Bucks, it just didn't seem like the right fit for several reasons.
And clearly the Bucks didn't think it was the right fit either.
Right.
And so they pick Rashad Vaughn.
Rashad Vaughn, who was a bit of a surprise pick, honestly. You know, the Bucks traded away Ersan Ilyasova to Detroit in what really amounted to a salary dump. They didn't get any future pieces back. I mean, Caron Butler was part of the deal, but they basically renounced the rights to him and made him a free agent. And so the Bucks didn't get any assets in return other than salary cap space to make a future move. And the scuttlebutt is they're going to use that to sign Chris Middleton to a contract extension and perhaps pick up somebody else along the way. There's talk of Tyson Chandler perhaps being interested in becoming the Bucks' center of the future. There are a couple other names floating around out there as well. So the Bucks gave themselves some flexibility to sign free agents. But as far as Rashad Vaughn goes, he's a shooter. He's a scorer. He's only a freshman, only played 1 year at UNLV, was the Mountain West Freshman of the Year despite missing the last third of the season with a knee injury.
Should the knee injury give the Bucks
any
pause? Well,
I imagine if it did, they wouldn't have picked him. It didn't seem like it was a long-term deal. It was the type of thing where he just needed rest and recovery. And he was in here for workouts, so they got to see him on the floor, you know, how his knee is now. And clearly they thought it was fine or they wouldn't have selected him. He's really good at making his own shot, not much on the defensive end, but a bit of an instant offense guy and offense from the perimeter. What surprised folks is they thought because they traded away Ilyasova, they might go for more of a post presence in the draft, like a Bobby Portis. And they just said, well, this kid is too talented and feels too great a need for us to go with a kid like Portis. It strikes me as the type of high risk, high reward move that the Bucks took when they drafted Giannis. Not many people knew about him. He didn't have a whole lot of experience, but the Bucks saw in him the potential for greatness. I'm not saying that Rashad Vaughn is going to become Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're two different styles of players, and look, Giannis is a bit of a phenomenon in his own right. But it does seem like it's that type of move where you're drafting a really young player who's got a lot of potential, and if it hits, it could hit pretty big for you.
The Bucks kind of going with the diamond in the rough philosophy.
Exactly.
So yeah. Speaking of diamonds and speaking of rough, there's been still plenty of rough play on the diamond over at Miller Park.
That's a nice segue.
Thank you very much. Last time we talked, the Brewers had been kind of mired in the place that the Brewers have been all year long. The Brewers, to their credit, though, haven't really gotten any worse since we last talked. In fact, there are some signs of life. They've put together a couple of nice come from behind wins in recent days. Really, they are playing though right up until the trade deadline, and then we'll see a different Brewers team, right?
Are you going for a bumper sticker? Brewers, we haven't gotten any worse. No, look, I think everybody around the team, everybody who's a Brewers fan understands that this is from a competitive standpoint, a lost season. So if you're a fan, what do? You go out and you can still enjoy the team. It's baseball. You can go out and have a good experience at the ballpark. I took my two kids out there earlier in the week. You know what their highlight of the night was? The Polish sausage won the race. So not every fan, as much as
chorizo was ripped off.
Well, apparently, but not every fan. As much fun as winning is, that's not the end all and be all of being a baseball fan. Having said that, you clearly want the team to win. And all the moves that the Brewers are going to do now and into the future is geared toward how will this help us win in the future. So you want your players on the current team to perform better so that their trade value increases. And you want the young kids to perform better so that you can see their development and get to a point where you trust them to be a piece of the future. So, you know, that's the type of things that you should be looking for and the types of things that the Brewers are looking for. And in that sense, yeah, it's good that they've kind of stabilized the ship and they just haven't fallen completely off of the cliff. They certainly haven't stabilized it to the point where anybody's mistaking them for a contender who's going to be buying pieces to improve the team at the trade deadline. They're still going to be exploring all moves to trade away veteran pieces, soon-to-be free agent pieces. And if the right offer comes along, perhaps even a name like John Segura or Jonathan Lucroy. But that type of offer is going to have to be a knock-me-over-with-an-anvil, can't-refuse-it, godfather type of deal where you're getting two or three future ace starting pitchers. I don't expect that deal to be out there. So if you're looking for who's the most likely to be moved, it's a guy like Kyle Loesch, a guy like Matt Garza. Potentially Carlos Gomez will be a free agent in the near future. Certainly an Adam Lind, Aramis Ramirez, guys like that. The young kids, unless it's a massive offer, I don't think the Brewers are going to move them.
And I think you have created your own bumper sticker, knock me over with an anvil.
That'll work too. I could go with that, sure.
Howie, thanks.
Thanks, Mitch.
Lake Effect sports contributor Howie Magner is managing editor at Milwaukee Magazine, and he writes about sports for the magazine's website.